I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
It's Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line. 0141-951-1025.
Hugh Keevans, Kenny Miller and Gordon Dyell are here, but they're all waiting for you to get in touch. So let's hear from you on 0141-951-1025 as we reflect on today's action and certainly look ahead to tomorrow's. We've now switched over to the other studio as well, so if you would really just love to see the guys in all their festive glory, Christmas tree, tinsel, all ready to go, you can do that as well. YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, wherever you normally watch the live stream. But we want to hear from you. What's on your mind after that? If we look at the games today, big win for Motherwell. It's a 6th consecutive league clean sheet, which is very impressive, but it comes with 3 points this time. Motherwell got to 3rd. Of course, Rangers respond tomorrow, potentially. And then you look through the other results. You St Mirren fans must just be thinking this is a big long party coming off the back of the League Cup triumph, winning again today. Killie fans, what was life like under Chris Doolan? Clearly it's not his fault. There's only so much you can do coming in at this stage. But did you see anything different? Anything that encouraged you? Anything that worried you? Get your reflections in there. And then on to tomorrow. As far as Sundays in the middle of December, when nothing can really be won or lost, go, it can't get much more important than this. First against 3rd at Tynecastle. Whichever side wins, it will be considered a massive statement. And over at Celtic Park, Wilfried Nancy trying to avoid defeat in his first 5 games. Celtic haven't lost 5 in a row since, wait for it, before Hugh Keevans was born.
And incidentally, it's 1st versus 4th at Tynecastle, because Motherwell have leapfrogged Rangers. Your very own Motherwell.
But what a day we've got coming up. And it was good stuff today as well.
Yeah, great stuff today, but it's sensational tomorrow. I mean, I'll read this slowly again. When Russell Martin drew with Falkirk and had to get a police escort away and was sacked, Rangers that night were 8th in the league. They had 1 win in 7. They were 4 points off the bottom of the Premiership table and they were 11 points behind Hearts. Enter Danny Rule. They might not be great to look at, but they are consistent. 20 points from the last 24. And that's why Tynecastle is a big deal tomorrow.
Do you fancy their chances, Hugh?
I think they've got every chance. Even though I'm the one that said Hearts champions elect, and if Hearts win, they go 12 points ahead of Rangers, and that's a game changer. But I just think that Danny Rule, as I say, they won't win any prizes for artistry, but they get the job done.
And that's the one thing that I was very impressed with him when he came in at first. He didn't come in and start the nonsense about the attacking football, the tactics, everything that he was going to do. He came in and he basically said, I need to win games. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what he's doing, especially in the league. And I think we're in for an absolute cracker tomorrow at Tynecastle.
Yeah, it'll be a real test. You know, again, from a Rangers perspective, going to Tynecastle and winning should just be something that's normal, you know, if you're going for league titles. But this is no normal this season, and this Rangers team are not at the level of previous teams. So it is a big game. Again, I'll look at the two squads. I think there's an argument that Hearts are better in every department to Rangers at this moment. They're definitely better at the back, there's no doubt about that. Their forward line speaks for itself when you've got two of the top scorers in the league in their team, and the top scorer for Rangers, I think, is Tavernier, which is normal again for Rangers, which is not good. And there's a case for the midfield as well at the moment that is just as strong. So it's going to be a real test for Rangers. And the thing about Rangers at the moment is, as much as they're not playing good, it doesn't matter who they're playing against. The game's in the balance. The game's 50-50. So like Hugh says, they can win. They have got a chance of winning. They have got a chance of keeping this momentum that they've been building under Danny.
I'm going to clip that up, that Kenny Miller, just in the middle of all that, and I'm just going to use it because you could use it in any context. He said, it's not normal this season. Nothing's normal this season. I don't know what's happened, but there is no normality whatsoever. It's been madness.
1:30 kickoff at Tynecastle, and then you go to Celtic Park, and Rangers are still playing Hearts with Celtic kickoff against Aberdeen. And we all keep saying, surely not. surely can't lose five in a row. But Aberdeen have a chance because Celtic give teams a chance.
I think as well on that, whilst you get your calls in on this, please, 01419511025. We're all obsessed with the stat about losing, but it's not like a draw does anything. No. Do you know, for him either? Yeah, it breaks that stat that the five defeats since before you were born, but yeah, not, that's going to be cause no, for celebration.
Still no 1-5.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is why I don't think a draw is enough.
No, of course. Anyway, let's go to the phones. Robbie is on. Robbie, how are you feeling about it all? There's a lot going on with your team at the moment.
Good evening, Gordon. Good evening to the panel. Yeah, Gordon, I just think that under different circumstances, if Wilfred and Nancy had came in with 7 or 8 weeks, you know, and friendly games, and they had started the season, you know, I think that what he's trying to do would maybe work, right? Because there's a lot of time on the training ground to practice what he's doing and friendly games and all the rest of it. I just think a lot of folk are going on about the system change. It's not just the system change of going with three at the back, 3-4-3. It's what he's doing within that system change. Now, see, Celtic, he's leading Celtic wide open. He's got two of his outside centre backs going out wide as wingers often, because he leaves his middle centre back as the covering guy, and he's whatever obviously side the play's going down. It's going down the right hand side or the left hand side. I mean, I looked at the second half and Tannadice here, and he had the Liam Skills is going away out wide. I mean, how unorthodox a back three is that when you've got your outside centre backs playing out wide? They should be coming in at least one third of the pitch for covering there. But it's just too kamikaze for my liking anyway. And as I say, he's no helping his sell out. See another thing is as well, see when he comes in and folk are saying, don't change it, just keep it the way Martin O'Neill had it. You've got to mind, he's not going to come in and be, I'm just going to be Martin O'Neill. That just doesn't work like that. But he's just made too many changes too quickly. There's no doubt about that. And he's trying to, he's not getting as much training time between the games. I mean, what is it, one in every 3 or 4 days he's playing a game. So it's all video stuff that he's doing. He's even said that. A lot of video analysis. There's a wee bit of training stuff yesterday that was on the Celtic website. You see the players out and about, and, you know, you can see them getting photographed. But, I mean, that's few and far between these sessions. I just think that here's what I would have done. I think he should have just, I mean, even if he's gone with a back three, he should make it more standard, more orthodox, rather than being too kamikaze. I mean, he's got overloads in wide areas and he's leaving them too wide open. I think he's just putting too much information into the players. And
let's put that stuff, Robbie, the tactical stuff, to Kenny and Gordon can chip in. Is that right? Is it, you know, is the system doomed to failure from the outset, or are there little tweaks within it that could be made to improve things?
I think Robbie's gave us a fair assessment on how Celtic are trying to play at the moment. I stated before Wilfred Nancy had his first game, I didn't see how this, it's not about the system, it's about the players that Celtic have got to put into the system. I didn't see how it would fit with these Celtic players in this Celtic squad. Maeda has had to play, and even under Martin O'Neill he's playing up front, even Brendan Rodgers was playing up. I don't think he's a great striker, but again, they're missing a striker, so needs must. He's definitely not someone who plays kind of inside the pitch like he was doing in the semi-final. So he was one guy I really thought, how would they fit? But then you see him on Wednesday night, how dangerous and powerful and threatening he looked playing on that kind of left wing-back role, if you want to call it that. But the way Celtic play is always going to be attacking. It's going the other way, where you're seeing big problems for Celtic, like Robbie says. St Mirren highlighted it. Every team's pretty much tried to get down the sides and in behind them in that transition moment. St Mirren done it really, really well last week in the cup final, and they've got the weakness for set plays. But the weakness for set plays for me was now a strange one, that he then chose to leave out a centre backs and play Skills, and play two full backs.
I think where my thing is with them, you look at the system we played at Tannadice, and you're right, everybody says they should have been outside 4 goals easily. I thought they played very, very well. When Dundee United changed in the second half, went more direct and more physically, for me, that's when he's got to counter that by maybe bringing on Scales with a bit of height and going to a back four and making it very tight and hard to get down the flanks. Robbie's right. I watched the cup final. Scales played nearly like a left winger. It was incredible. I couldn't believe it, just running up and down the left-hand side. I just think that, I think David Fraill...
But just quickly on that, what do you do? What's it meant to look like? Because you're saying you don't think, you knew straight away he wouldn't have the players to do that, right? So presumably you think Liam Scales shouldn't be there. So, but is that role better suited to Kieran Tierney? Is that what you mean? Because then if that's the case, then you are only playing with one kind of recognised traditional centre back. Do you know what I mean?
No, I know exactly what you mean. But how I'm not that fussed about the way Scales steps in on that side when it's on his side. When they're still, but again, Robbie's right. The other centre back should be around, mm-hmm. and it should be a kind of 2v1 at the other side. They should always have a plus one in the back line, in my opinion. Again, but Wilfred Nancy's quite happy for them to be
man for man.
It's absolutely, again, that's his choice. My biggest thing was, again, and it's not necessarily about a system, but when you've had a team that have been dominating this football in this country for so long, what is the need to come in and have to try and change something new?
That's it, Hugh.
That's the thing for me.
The tactics, those guys do that.
Yeah.
You're not so getting bogged down in that. The only reason we're talking about it is because he's changed and it hasn't worked. So straight away, it became this stick to beat him with, this thing.
Yeah.
And you wonder, as Robbie says, even if nothing else, if it was the sole reason of this schedule, you wonder if he could have taken a look at that and went, I will need to implement this another time because I'm barely on the training ground.
I think there's a word that can be applied to him: arrogance.
Now, see, I actually think that's unfair.
Well,
because you keep hearing that.
Robbie mentioned Martin O'Neill. Martin O'Neill clawed back points on Hearts. Wilfred Nancy has thrown them all away again.
I know, but a lot of it, I think everybody needs to be careful. A lot of it's getting personal. Arrogant. Mm. You know,
the guy's trying to win football.
I listened to what Martin O'Neill said about their meeting, which apparently lasted 15 minutes. I think he was dismissive of Martin O'Neill. Yeah. I'll do it my way, thank you. And his way, so far, has been the wrong way.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Obviously, look at the results.
But I sort of disagree with what you said about arrogance. That's the way the guy plays. That's what got him to Celtic. That's why he was picked out to be the manager of Celtic, because that's his formation. That's the way he likes to play. That's the way he likes to set his teams up. Now, unfortunately for him, and we all know, if you come into a club like Celtic, you can't afford to lose four games in a row.
By the way, as part of the explanation the other night, the stories that came out about him having the backing of the board, that was specifically in there as well. The story came out that they are supportive of his decision to change the system. I think people were asking, what does your head of football operations do? Where is your continuity? Should a manager have been allowed? Should you have recruited a manager that's going to come in and change? But the board are behind it.
I would like to think that They've looked at Wilfred Nancy, whoever's made the decision that he's the top of the list. I would like to think that it's nothing to do with the system. It's to do with his style. Because if it's to do with his system, which again, let's say I'm going to say, I don't think it is to do with his system, why he's been identified. Because why would they want to identify someone who plays that way in that system when they've had 15 years of dominance? Mm-hmm. Playing 4-3-3, 4-2-3-1, whichever you want to call it.
I think the style is more important.
I think the style is way more important about how he's played. But that's also a big step to go and be doing it with Columbus Crew and MLS, to come in and implement it with Celtic. Like you say, at this time, when you've got fixture, when you've not got a lot of training time.
So what would that be? That would be one full training session in between every game, yeah?
Maybe two, max.
I was up there on, so when did they play? Wednesday night. So I was up there on Thursday. The team that played against Dundee United didn't train. Well, not in that regard. Mm-hmm. They did their own thing. Everybody else trained. Wilfred Nancy took that session. So you're then on to
Friday,
yep. Which would be a full session. Yeah,
probably not, but because you've got a secondary recovery
close-ish
type.
Close-ish, though. Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. As close as you're going to get. Because today they're not going.
I still think they'll be doing work today. They will absolutely be doing work today on how they're going to play.
Yeah. He looks like he doesn't know the strength of his players for me. He's playing, for instance, the cup final. We were speaking about it earlier. Maeda in a number 10 role. Maeda can never play there in a million years. Forrest on. And I know that the people look and say, well, he didn't have a lot of options, and I agree with that. Forrest on midfield. He just looks like he's in the wrong movie.
Laurie is on the other line. Thank you to Robbie. Laurie, what are you thinking then? Can this be pulled back starting tomorrow?
Well, first and foremost, Gordon, thank you allow me to be on the programme this evening. My own thoughts are, I'll go back to the night Wilfred Nancy was appointed. I come on to the scoreboard, and I had said that this would prove to be Celtic's Russell Martin moment. In fact, Hugh referenced that call in his column in the Daily Record. The guy is clueless. I think that our situation at the club just now is critical. If this guy remains in charge any longer, it will be terminal. If he's not arrogant, then he's certainly intransigent, because he is insistent and is adamant they'll continue to do it his way. I watch the team. There's no cohesion. There's no shape. There's no formation. They're truly exposed at the back. They gallivant up upfield like the charge of the Light Brigade, and they're getting picked off at the back. The proof of the pudding's in Eton Garden. Celtic thus far have conceded 10 goals in the four games that Wilfred Nancy has been in charge. This situation, to me, it can only have a satisfactory outcome if Wilfred Bramble is ensconced at the departure lounge of Glasgow Airport before the end of the year.
You wonder, though, the scale of the damage that's been done. We're all obsessed with this. Four, does it become five? See, even if it doesn't, you're right. Celtic win tomorrow, then, you know, good on him.
Yeah.
Then what kind of run would he need to go on to try and fix this?
I've said to you, Gordon, I believe that Celtic are further to fall. If it were to be five defeats in a row tomorrow, he then goes away to Livy, away to Motherwell, and home to Rangers. Livy will be whatever it wants to be, unpredictable ground. As I say, even Ange Postecoglou lost there when he came in. But I believe that they will lose to Motherwell and lose to Rangers. And you're postponing the inevitable. And the reason why I referenced Laurie's call in the column, which is in the Sunday Mail, incidentally, Laurie, but the Daily Record are very happy if they want to send me cheques. but the reason I referenced that is because you came on and another caller came on and said he was dreading the news of the appointment. So there were Celtic fans like Laurie who didn't fancy the idea of Wilfred Nancy.
So like Russell Martin then, because everybody keeps mentioning them in the same breath, as much as they have played their own part in their downfall, did they have a chance to begin with then? If that's the atmosphere you arrive at, it's no shock you're getting booed off and chanted four games later if you keep losing them.
I think the collapse of Russell Martin and Wilfred Nancy is beginning to take on an identical look, because Laurie used the word intransigent. Russell Martin was intransigent from the very outset, and he only had 17 games, and people thought that was far too many. He should have gone long before that. And it was Russell Martin's way or the highway, and it was clearly not working, but he did it over and over again, repeated the same mistakes over and over again. And what he had to say in press conferences, I know that's not the be-all and end-all and what decides whether you have a good time at a club or not, but they both ramble on in the same way.
Funny, you were actually telling me you also felt that it was all intransigent.
That was the first word you used to
me when you came in this afternoon.
See what worries me about him is every game he's played, the second half where you're probably you're most active as a coach and a manager, because you'll change the shape a little bit, you'll change the tactics according to what's happening, you'll make substitutions, right? He's got found wanted every second half. He started okay against Dundee United. He started okay in the cup final against St Mirren. And both of them, and same against Hearts, started well. And then the second half, all these teams tweaked one or two things and turned them over. And Laurie's right. They do not look a team that's got to keep a clean sheet.
Is there room for just a little bit of, if Celtic had more quality, those good first halves would translate into a lead or a healthier lead, and then you don't have the same battles in the second half?
Of course there is.
No, not like,
but no. that's
no, but what I mean is just in terms of, even if it, so I don't know if people, rather than 90-100% Wilfred Nancy's fault, is it 90% his fault and 10%, you know, maybe in a different time, like I said, you're 2-0 up, 3-0 up at Tannadice, yep, maybe at the week, that second half then doesn't happen the way that you, mm-hmm, you know, you point out.
It is not Wilfred Nancy's fault that Johnny Kenny, Daisy Maeda miss big chances in that game. It is not. That's the one thing, and that is a coach or a manager, that's where you can tear your hair out, particularly when you're in these moments where things are going, mm-hmm, are going bad. Where he has to take responsibility is where he puts, like, the tactics that he puts, the teams that he picks, the shape that he wants to pick. That's, by the way, I think he tried to distance himself a little bit for the set play scenario. No, no, you're in charge mm-hmm. now. It's on you. And by the way, you've changed it three or four times in the four games that you've been in. It's been zonal, it's been man marking, there's been more zones. So you have clearly got a say on it, mm-hmm. but you're still weak in it. So there is things that are his responsibility and things that aren't.
Thank you, Laurie. More calls when we return.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
After they play, you have your say. 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Hugh Keevans, Kenny Miller and Gordon DL are here. We're doing a few things at once, looking back on today's action, forward to tomorrow, because tomorrow's so fascinating, isn't it? But I'm delighted to look back as well. That's the whole point of Saturday, really, on the phone line. So Hugh is a Motherwell fan. A good win in the end, Hugh. League table's looking nice.
Definitely, yeah. Good evening, guys. How are we?
Good.
Yeah, it was the first half was a bit unlike us. Dundee actually played pretty decent for the first 15-20 minutes. I'll give them a due in that. But apart from that, they didn't really trouble us or anything like that. They were breaking up play a lot. I must admit, McDermott, the day the referee, was shocking for both teams. He's just, you couldn't believe some of the decisions. There was one that Elijah just got pulled back, and you seen the strip, and he made them play on. So he played on, had a shot, and still didn't book the player. You're like, well, surely still on the fence.
Nah, I don't think it is anymore, you know, to be honest, Hugh. Not that, I mean, I haven't seen it, but I think the way they look at it now is that the booking's given for stopping a promising attack. So if you didn't stop the promising attack, you kind of get away with it. Might be a bit frustrating, but that's kind of how it's, yeah, it's viewed. But anyway,
because Paul McGinn went up to him, obviously had a go at him as well. Yeah. Maybe that was the explanation. That's fine. Just to obviously see how, what you guys think about, well, Murlough's next two games are Celtic and Rangers. So massive big games. I was expecting over the next three games, including today, minimum 7 points. I don't see any difference how we're not going to get something off Celtic and Rangers. So just to see what you guys think. And again, I'm trying to go on for the last couple of Wednesdays to speak to Marvin to see how
the midfield.
But your producer never puts me on when Marvin's on, and I don't know why.
Because he's on Tuesday.
He's on. Don't phone on Wednesday. He's on a Tuesday.
Tuesday, sorry. I've tried the last couple of Tuesdays, and he never put me on. But there you go. I will speak to Marvin Monday.
I can't wait.
Yeah, just to see what you guys think for the, especially the next two of the games for Murlough.
You two, you already kind of spoke. Our Hugh in mm-hmm. here.
I think Murlough
double Hugh is
Murlough
confusing.
Will beat Celtic at Fir Park.
Yeah, I think they're capable of doing it. The one thing that they're doing very well is clean sheets. And if you're keeping clean sheets and you've got the flair of the middle of the park and up front, then you're going to win a lot of games. Let me just say that. I don't think Celtic will look forward to going to Fir Park, especially with the possession football that Motherwell playing just now. They've been absolutely brilliant. Another good result today.
So Motherwell went to Celtic Park and 3-2, and Dizemeda scored right at the end. Mm-hmm. But just if we're saying that Celtic's main problem at the moment is handling Lindelöf and Mandron and those balls down the sides and that kind of power and direct,
Motherwell not got it.
Well, it's just not what Motherwell do. So I'm actually wondering, in a strange twist, that although Motherwell are very good, Kenny, at the moment, clearly the league table tells you that, is it automatic to really think that that will work against Celtic?
Listen, clearly they'll play the same way, and they want to have the ball. They want to make that statement that they'll still, whether they're playing Rangers, Celtics, and Mirren, whatever it is, they're going to try and play that way. I would be very, very surprised. You're saying it might not be in their DNA at the moment, but this manager is very, very good. He's going to have been watching the game. He's going to see where the teams are causing problems for Celtic, and he's going to find a way to try and cause Celtic these similar problems within the qualities that they've got. So again, I wouldn't be as confident as you saying Motherwell will beat Celtic. They could beat Celtic, absolutely, the way they're playing this season and the troubles that Celtic are facing. But Celtic are still a good team. Again, you've seen it in the first half the other night. You've seen it in spells under Wilfred Nancy. You've seen it in Martin's time. They're more than capable of playing well and winning games of football. But in this veiny form, Gordon said it, when you're got clean sheets and you've got players that have got the attacking ability and then the good players in the midfield, the creative ability, you're always going to have, it's a good recipe to have. So real good test for Motherwell to see exactly where they're at. They deserve to be in the position that they're at with the football they've played. real test with him in the next two games.
A lot's changed since that 3-2 game at Celtic Park. It was the last thing Brendan Rodgers ever said to me, you know. Oh, did you enjoy the game at Celtic Park a couple of weeks ago? Obviously knew where my allegiances lay. I had to get a wee dig in there about the final result. Maybe it will be different this time, Hugh and Lanark. How impressive is the 6 clean sheets on the spin?
Oh, it is, as you said in the studio tonight, I mean, if you're not losing goals, you're not losing games. And at the start, I mean, we had a fair few draws and it wasn't going our way. Now we're keeping the clean sheets, but we're now getting the wins out of it. Today should have been a wee bit more comfortable, but, you know, it's like you're going to have one of those games where you don't play to how we've been playing, but we're still good enough to win the game. When we've had a win just by the post, the keeper's made a couple of saves, direct header straight at him, could have went either side, then we get the chance, and we were constantly pushing. And you could see how Dundee were, but again, it's all about the clean sheet, as you say, it's all about the 3 points, and just keep on going on and on and on.
The bit of love about that, Kenny, is the number of people who, when they first saw this Motherwell team, because we do this here, don't we? I think there is, I don't know if snobbery is the right word, but I think there's a bit in Scottish football. Some people, they don't like to see Jens Bertolascu coming from far away and sort of ripping things up and some, you know, taking offence at some comments he's made that really aren't that big a deal. Everybody said, ah, yeah, you know, they might be easy in the eye, oh, but they'll give you chances, or, you know, play your way into trouble. All that stuff that you hear. 6 clean sheets in a row for a team like Motherwell. That's totally blown apart this notion that if you play out from the back, you're bound to shoot yourself in the foot. That is quite simply not the case.
Well, it's not been the case. I mean, I'm sure they have done it over the course of these games and they've not been punished for it. I mean, that's not their fault. They want to play the certain way. They're doing it. They're doing it very, very well. And like I say, that's why they're sitting third in the league at this moment in time. So if you want to play that way, it doesn't mean it's going to work. He's obviously worked really, really hard on it. They've got players believing. Again, you talked earlier about buying. Players are clearly enjoying the way they're playing. They're buying into what he wants them to do, and they're actually doing it. Again, the one thing I've noticed, or I've loved watching Motherwell, is how the exciting players that they've got on the team, not just on the field, on the bench. So when things are not quite working, they can change that game. They can get the personnel on and off. And again, there's people that can come on and affect the game in a positive way. When these games are tight, when they're needing something different, they've got that ability to bring go to the bench.
It's incredible, because if you look back, I watched them in the pre-season and I thought to myself, this is going to be a long season. They're going to concede goals. The goalkeeper was coming in for criticism. He was playing so far out the box. He got chipped at Fir Park.
Hamilton.
Was it Hamilton, sorry. And you're thinking to yourself, oh, this is going to be difficult. This guy has got to change something here, because it'll be bottom of the league, really. And look at the football. The fans are loving it. 6 clean sheets, as you rightly say there. And they go into games against Celtic and Rangers, the top teams, and Hearts, full of confidence, knowing that they can go and win.
And that's the time to do it, though, isn't it? It's the pre-season.
Motherwell being third on the table at Christmas is sensational. Yeah, you really...
Well, Rangers might take it tomorrow.
Well, yeah, and might not. So, the job that he has done thus far has been truly remarkable.
I think especially now, like, you'll remember there have been times in the last sort of decade or couple of decades where Motherwell have maybe been third, kind of fourth. But right now that order should be hard to get, because, you know, well, Hearts are top for a start, so that shows you how strong they are. You know, Aberdeen are in a kind of strong place financially. You know, so are Hibs. We had that mad spell where maybe Hearts, Hibs, Rangers weren't in the league. But for Motherwell to be keeping that company just now.
Yeah, and what's so impressive about it as well, I remember going back to, you know, you look at the St Mirren game, they were playing with fullbacks at the back, the centre-halves. You know, and every one of them bought into what he's doing. David Friel was talking about today, he's not frightened to make changes. You know, he gets a victory and you think to yourself as a player, well, I'm a starter next week, guaranteed. We've just picked up 3 points, we've played very well. He's making 5 changes, 7 changes, 4 against Hearts, I think it was. So he's mixing everything up.
Hugh, where do you think you'll finish?
If my heart says something, my head says something totally different. We're definitely top 6. I would love us to finish 4th minimum. If you know what I mean? I don't want to go below 4th. I just think, because the way we've produced football this year, the way we've played it, and we're going to continue to play it, I think a couple of signings in January is going to push us on. Just what you were saying there about making changes. We made 7 changes against Livy, you think, and we weren't like brought down or anything like that. 5 against Tibbs, and you're bringing in half a team who's maybe been sitting on a bench, but you go and look at our bench now, it's so strong, you can say, yeah, I'm bringing him on, but he's not going to weaken the team. He's, if anything, he's maybe strengthened it. So it's fantastic to see, and he will make changes again next week. 100%, you know for a fact, that's not going to be the team that's starting next week. But changes again.
When you look at the top 6, Hearts, Celtic, Rangers, Motherwell, Hibs, Aberdeen, Motherwell, in comparison to the other 5, have a budget that's a fraction of any of those teams. A fraction. And that they are 3rd in the table. So the guy is one of the stories of the season.
Let's hear from him then. Thank you to Hugh. This is what the manager had to say.
No, it's obviously we're in a good place, and we're in a place where we are able to continuously produce good, solid, controlled performances where we are really hard to beat, we are really hard to score against, and then we know that we can still, even though we have scored 26 goals, which not many in the league have done better than us, but we know there are more goals in this team, and we are trying our best every day to see if we can find them. Yeah, I will enjoy my Christmas mainly because of the reason that my family is coming over. And that is something we have all been looking forward to spend some time together, and I can't wait for them to come. And when they arrive, I don't think it matters if we have won 10 or have been unbeaten or lost the last 10. That's the main thing in life. But when I wake up tomorrow and before I pick them up in the airport, I will probably feel really good, like the rest of the guys here and the fans, because we are in a good place as a football club. And that is very nice to be where we are when everyone is slowing down a little bit around us.
There's a nice Christmas story.
That perspective.
Yeah. Get the wife and the children over.
When you wake up, you must be very happy.
Just to be there, yeah.
But just as a small point though, worth remembering the kind of bizarre way that this came about. Motherwell appointed Michael Vimmer to replace Stuart Kettlewell. He finished off the season. He was meant to take this season on, but he couldn't be away from his family, and he went back. And this is the sort of thing that Jens Bertolasco's putting on. As many people, you've just been over in Atlanta, for goodness sake. But you know, it's just funny that the last guy actually left because of that. So listening to that, Motherwell, I don't know if lucky is the right word, because you make your own luck by recruiting them, but the way it fell into place was nice.
Sometimes fate, the sliding doors moments, all that stuff. He wasn't meant to be the Motherwell manager, but he is. Danny Rule wasn't meant to be the Rangers manager, but when Steven Gerrard said no thank you, and that was followed up by another rejection, he came in and he's done, I would argue, a job that is the equal of what Stevie Gerrard
did. Hugh was talking about strengthening in January. Where would you strengthen? Because they've got good goalkeeper, they're 6 clean sheets, their midfield some people think are the best they're now in the league, the way they're performing, and they've scored 26. So they look like they've got a very nice balance as a team.
I think you must be aware of not the criticism as such, Kenny, but just, I feel like he offered that there. Everybody keeps talking, oh, if they had a striker, they would be here. If they had a striker, they'd be there. Well, they are 3rd. And he's pointed out the number of goals that they've scored. So maybe it is a bit unfair to keep honing in on that.
Yeah, it's because, again, if you look at who the top scorers in the league, they're right up there. You know, but I think it's more of late, as much as they've been getting clean sheets. They have had, obviously, had a few of these draws and maybe a few chats, even today. I mean, it could have been three or four. You know, so you're not going to get these tight games going your way all the time if you're passing up really, really good chances. That's Celtic found out on Wednesday night. So, again, they've still scored goals. They're keeping clean sheets. They're sitting 3rd in the league. They've got really, really exciting players going forward.
Okay, 01419511025. We've talked Motherwell. What about you, St Mirren fans? He's still on a high. We spoke, of course, about Wilfried Nancy at length again. What about Hearts Rangers tomorrow? Rangers fans, how big a statement would it be if you were to go there and win? And can you do it? Give us your thoughts right now. We'll look at that game next.
The games are over. The talking begins. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Into the final parts of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. What are you thinking about tomorrow, Kenny? Hearts against Rangers, you've played in it loads. It's just always a great fixture. Yep. Even if they were both mid-table, it would be a great fixture. But just the context around this one's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, again, it shows how well Hearts have done this season under Dell, that we're actually, can Rangers go and win is actually a question. You know, like when you're talking about budgets, when Rangers' budget's way bigger than Hearts, way bigger. Two, three, four, five times as much. And you're asking, actually, can this team actually go there and win? So it's a really, really good day in the Scottish Premiership. Two big games. Rangers are going to, I mean, Rangers really need to go and win. You know, if Rangers lose this game and they find themselves 12 points back for Hearts, that is a long, long way back.
Too long.
It's not too far. It's not, but it's a long, long way back, because what that means is you're having to win games consistently, which, again, under Danny, they have, but they've dropped silly points as well. And they're not playing well. And the thing about Rangers is, when I seen the Livingston game at Ibrox, I was there. They shouldn't have won that game. And then Hibs away, I don't think they should have won that game. So you're always going to get these Falkirk games where you might have actually played okay and deserved to win, but you're not going to get it all go your way. Tomorrow is a different test.
Is your point a good result?
No, it's not a good result.
Away to the league leaders who have just come off a good result.
As a Rangers player, I would like to think they're still going into this game tomorrow expecting to win. You know, is it wrong? Is it arrogance? I don't know. Are this group capable of going and winning? They are. They've been to Easter Road and won. Again, they gave a good show on against Celtic when they were down to 10 men as well. They showed real character in that. There's not been a consistency of the performances or the results.
I think the Rangers fans will like that. That's the way the mindset used to be.
You can't see if you start going that way as a Ranger or a Celtic player for, and you're accepting the fact that a point's good enough, then you're at the wrong club.
I totally agree with you on what you say, but do you think that this moment in time, and you've highlighted some of the, oh, they should have lost at Easter Road, yep, and other games, do you think that Rangers squad right now are in the mindset of turning up at Tynecastle saying, yeah, we're going to really go out there and win this and show that we're better than Hearts?
I can't answer that question for you, but as a Rangers player, you have to have that. And if you've not, then you're going to go and drop points. And maybe that's why Rangers have over the course of the season and not had the results that they should have, or that club should be getting. And it's not just against Hearts, it's against the so-called smaller teams as well over the course. Tomorrow will be a big test, because I'm saying they should have this type of mindset, but I'm also the guy that's saying Hearts are probably better in every department.
I'll have to look at the record books and find out if the league title has ever been won by a club who sacked their manager midway through the competition. It's about credibility tomorrow for me. If Rangers win tomorrow, they are right back in the title race. Completely, 100%, overwhelmingly back in the league title race. And it doesn't matter how many games you attend and how many times you say the squad's not good, they don't look good, it was a terrible game, it doesn't matter. So, but if Hearts get the 12-point lead tomorrow, Derek McInnes would have to think that it will look bad for him if he doesn't win the league.
Paul, as a Rangers fan, what's the mindset for you, Paul, heading there tomorrow? Fancy it?
I totally agree with Kenny's saying. We should go in with the attitude to win the game. What I would say, Gordon, is I think I've been quite impressed with, I don't know what Kenny thinks as well and what Hugh thinks. I actually think Conor Barn could play a star role in tomorrow's game. He's a bit of a powerhouse in midfield. Been really impressed by him. I think he's got the drive, the determination, brings a bit of composure to the midfield, and I think he could be the star man tomorrow. Not necessarily scoring a goal or popping up with a goal, but just kind of taking that role. I'm not saying he's the same as Steve Davis, but he's in that kind of bracket as Stuart McCall as well, just the powerhouse and just going for tackles and showing that bit of mentality. I don't really think, but that's my thoughts tomorrow. I think Conor Barn could be the guy.
Well, what I'll say to you, Paul, is he was the best player against Hibs for me. He was, and again, I wouldn't put him in that bracket of the player. I know what you mean in terms of the type that he is. The one thing about Conor Barn is he gives you everything he's got. He will go and take the ball. He will work tirelessly within the game. And I think at the moment, that is, normally it's the bare minimum, but we're now actually kind of looking at, right, there's maybe not everybody doing that. in a blue jersey at this moment in time. But I fully expect him to play tomorrow. I expect him to kind of be the main guy in midfield, because, like I said, I felt he was their best player at Ibrox against Hibs, and I think the fans showed that as well, their appreciation for his performance. When he came off, there was a bit of surprise. Firstly, he was coming off, but he got a standing ovation when he came off. So he's a player that's in decent enough form, so I think he could be
He's Rangers' best midfield player just now. In fact, I would say he's probably in the last few weeks been Rangers' best player. He's shown a bit of form. You're right, I think that he's so important to the middle of the park tomorrow, because that'll be a real battle in there. And you look at Hearts as well, Devlin's probably having the season of his life, the way he's playing as well. So,
and he's very combative. That's the type of player he is, and you're going to have to stand up and match that.
Yeah, it'll be a good battle.
Paul, are you one of those that thinks Rangers need to win to keep your title hopes alive tomorrow? Or is it not that simple?
No, it's not that simple. Not with the squad we've got, Gordon. I think Castle, you've just already there, but Hearts are playing out there, having the season of their life now. So I always thought the acid test for Danny Rowe would be Hearts away and Celtic away. If we get 4 points out of the two games, I think what Hugh was saying is we're bang on the title race. I think he'll be smart. I think he's a smart guy. I think he's dealing with the media really well. Not just because he's giving out these Santa chocolates, but stuff like that. It's a lot of positivity now sitting with Rangers, whereas another half of the city, it's all doom and gloom. So to be a Rangers fan in that place after the years we've went through, I'm milking every moment, to be honest, Gordon. But 4 points out of the two games, I think we're definitely on this out. A good January transfer window. Thankfully, Kevin Fairwell and that are nowhere near that anymore. And this other guy we've got for Liverpool for the short term, he might play a blinder. So I don't know. It's going to be tricky. But if we're still there into January, I think we're in a shout.
But it depends who you think your biggest challengers are. Because if you are, I know what game Rangers fans would rather win.
Yeah, I was going to ask Paul.
If you're talking about the 4 points, if the 1 point comes against Hearts, you still not really made up any ground on them yet. Do you know what I mean? I know you can only do it one step at a time.
And it's the two games in between those games as well.
I would take my point against Hearts, and I would take the three against Celtic.
I think the fact that we're even discussing Rangers, given that this programme was incredible at the start of the season when Russell Martin was there,
we're saying about Celtic just now, we said pretty much, about Rangers earlier in the season.
But what I will say about Hearts is it's now or never, because Celtic and Rangers simultaneously will not be this bad again. Surely not. And therefore Hearts' chances will diminish if they don't do it this season. And I know the philosophy is, well, Tony Bloom, the money, it gets better and better. Well, it might, but I don't see Celtic and Rangers combined or individually getting worse and worse. The Rangers next season will be far stronger, they'll have far better players. Danny Rule will have been there for longer, and they will progress. I'm not sure what happens to Celtic, because I can't guarantee the manager's future beyond 5 o'clock tomorrow. But Hearts can improve. However, they'll never get Rangers and or Celtic as poor as this again.
Your mastermind subject is being a Rangers striker. So if Miovski doesn't make it tomorrow, there's a question mark, I think was the Danny Rowe phrase. How big a blow is that?
Yeah, I think again is, sometimes players become better when they don't play.
Sure.
Sometimes players, sometimes it's down to the fact that the other guys are not as good.
He's at least scored a couple now.
That's the thing. The timing of his injury after scoring two goals in the game against Kilmarnock, and then scoring in the European game as well. It was bad timing for Bojan firstly, but also for Danny Rowe and Rangers, because it looked like he was maybe starting to find that little bit of form that we've seen a couple of seasons ago when he was Aberdeen striker. So that was bad timing. If he's not, I think it will be a blow. Because I don't think Shermetti's clearly no hit the ground running, and again, he's not everybody's cup of tea. He's still yet to prove that transfer, not just the transfer fee, but the fact that he deserves to be in a Rangers jersey. You know, Danilo scored some important goals when he's came into the team. He always has done, but has he done enough to kind of really command that? If it was between the two of them, I think I would probably be going with Danilo.
He's a better finisher of the two. I think everybody knows that. Chermiti's not even hit the ground, never mind hit the ground running. He's really, really struggling, the lad. Maybe it could be a big moment for him. If Majovski's not fit and the manager decides, right, I'm going to go with him. Listen, he could go off to a great start, scoring against Hearts, getting the winner, whatever it may be. But I'm with Kenny. If I'm looking for goals, Danilo would be my choice out of the two of them.
Are we in a scenario now where you don't really know if James Tavernier's going to start games for Rangers? They obviously didn't the other night. They won the game. I'm not saying they were brilliant, but they won the game.
It's crazy for me. It really is. I mean, Raskin as well, I think maybe he's carrying a little knock or maybe a little injury. For me, they're still Rangers' two best players.
And on the basis that Tavernier is the top scorer.
Well, we say to you, this is, we have these conversations every single season about James Tavernier. Is he, this is last year, is he, does he get the blame for this, blame for that? James Tavernier is Rangers, still one of Rangers' best players. It's as simple as that. When you play big games, you play your best players.
He's also cut out for that. Tynecastle was made for games like tomorrow's match. And Tavernier's made for that type of game.
I would see the point if there was somebody in his position that you think is better than him, but there's not. You're not telling me Aarons is a better wing back or a right back than James Tavernier. Never in a million years.
No. He's got to play. It's as simple as that. Again, I don't know what's going on inside the building or why the reasons are that he's maybe getting left, he's been left out. James Tavernier is still one of Rangers' best players. He's their top scorer in the league. He's, if Rangers need something to happen, whether it be a goal or producing a cross for a goal, he's normally the guy that does it. There's just, again, you're not telling Danny Rowe sees these guys every single day, I get it. But there's no doubt James Tavernier is still one of Rangers' best players.
Okay, go on then, leave us with, did anyone get predictions right today? No, I don't think so.
I think I was the best at them all, yeah. Nah. I got the win, St Mirren win, I got the...
You fancy Tibbs, mate.
Fancy Tibbs as well. And I fancy the draw to come
out. I got three out of four.
Well, there you go. Three wins.
Two games tomorrow, go, quickly.
Celtic beat Aberdeen, Rangers beat Hearts.
Agree.
Ooh. Celtic beat Aberdeen and Hearts and Rangers draw.
There we go. We will find out tomorrow. It's going to be Sunday in store. The guys have got you covered from 3 o'clock onwards and trying to pick their way through it. You should whack the microphone there on the way out.
Yeah.
Brilliant. That's good. Thanks for that.
He's in a hurry.
Right. We are, like I said, Andrew McLean back tomorrow. I'll speak to you Monday night. Can't wait to reflect on this weekend. It's going to be huge. And enjoy the rest of your Saturday. The GBX is up next.